Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Türk Telekom 2010 H1 Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode until we conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, please press star, then zero on your telephone keypad. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. I'd now like to hand over to Chairperson Abdullah Kaya. Please begin your meeting, and I'll be standing by.
Thank you, Alex. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Türk Telekom's conference call to discuss 2010 first half financial and operational results. This is Abdullah Kaya, Head of IR. Before proceeding, let me mention that this presentation contains financial information that is reported under TNB and is audited. With that, let me leave the floor to Dr. Paul Doğan, CEO of Türk Telekom.
Thank you, Abdullah. I'll start on the third slide where we give a brief update of the market. We've seen, obviously, good success with our PSTN new tariff structures, slowing down the decline of customers and increasing our pace of use. Sell side, supporting further growth in the market and also further upselling into our new tariff. The mobile market, of course, has remained highly competitive, especially with Vodafone in the market, and we hope to see some improvement on this in the course of the year. On regulatory action, of course, you're also aware of the MTR cuts and the off-net cap reduction and double tandem fixed termination, the pricing per unit, currency per minute, and the postponement of the 22nd billing, which in fact would provide some more time for the mobile operators, I suppose. It seems like a welcome move by the regulator. They seem to have enough on their hands at the moment. On slide four, we show our consolidated performance with revenue up 2% and EBITDA up 4% in margin terms to 43%, and net income up to 1,147, up 40% on last year. So the strong growth, obviously, in mobile and broadband have supported this result, and cost control on the EBITDA margin and the net income on the back of improved performance and better financial expenses. On slide six, we look at the fixed line business. The home advantage bundle now represents, as a total of our bundles, over 25% of our total customer base, over 4 million. Obviously, this is a very big success in the short period of time that we converted our old bundles into this new successful bundle, benefiting from the regulatory freedom that we now have equal to the mobile players in the market. In addition, we have continued our 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. free on-net calls, which again supported our increase of MOUs without actually impacting our revenue. We did not see any shift of traffic into the, you know, from the charge time to the uncharged time. So minutes of use at 119 minutes, up 14% year to date. Now, on the next slide of seven, look at ADSL. The 8 meg packages are now over 50% of the CityNet base, and the unlimited packages are over 40%. Again, big success on the upselling, which efforts are continuing. And the average monthly data usage has now hit about 12, giga, which is approximately half of the European average, and we see ourselves actually catching up with Europe in the course of the next 12 to 18 months with increased capacity usage, which provides, obviously, the main advantage of fixed usage, with mobile providing, obviously, the convenience of connectivity when out of Wi-Fi coverage. Our Wi-Fi hotspots have hit 8,000, well in line with our target of 10,000 by the year end. TV Blue, our web TV service, reached 150,000 in the course of the second quarter, and our upselling program continues with increased usage with such types of services, fundamentally video, which is driving the increase in capacity. On slide eight, looking at the fixed line revenue and margins, we see 4142 down to 4104, 0.9% down year-to-date. And the EBITDA up to 52%, reaching 2149 for the first half of this year. We have, of course, continued our strong cost control in the company, and these initiatives have been based upon a benchmark of the best operators, best six line operators, and we've done that work now into cost control buckets, and that is progressing very nicely inside the company, which also has changed the work ethics towards cost control to the best benchmark. On slide 9, we're looking at the ADSL, with the wholesale connections reaching 6.5 million. And on the average revenue per ADSL line, we can see the first half of 09, second half of 09, and the first half of 010 going up from 28.5 to 31.9. Obviously, the rate of growth is now slowing down, so the value of our work, which will continue, is reaching to this point where in the second quarter we hit 32 lira average revenue per line. On slide 10, looking at the PSTN highlights, we see also the access lines after a difficult year last year from 17.5 down to 15.5. We see now that we're back into the stable period, obviously on the back of our successful home advantage campaign. And our average revenue per PSTN line up 6% to 22. And obviously, this is reaching the level of our third quarter 09, which is a very positive result, which we see sustainable going forward, and well within our guidance of stable performance on the fixed revenue side and maintaining our profitability due to the cost control measures. On page 11, we provide the headcount that we always do to update you on that one. And we see here that we have reached 27,800 employees. In fact, this slight increase in this number is due to a recruitment drive that we have introduced in the company in order to facilitate the return to government of the so-called C2 or contract 2 personnel, which now we have started and will go between now and the end of the year, so that we will be in line with our target in relation to the total number of employees we want to reach. But what is also important is that the employees who are replacing the older employees who wish to return to the government are obviously at a lower cost per person, and they are also market salaries, and therefore we see an improvement in our personnel cost as a percentage of revenue, as we always guided towards pushing that number down to the 20%. Now I'd like to hand over to the mobile business, Mr. Erkan Akdemir.
Good afternoon. As the AVEA, we initiated a raise proposition in the market, both in the prepaid and postpaid segment. In prepaid segment, we initiated relaunch the hotline and HEPSU tariff. The postpaid launch of the new 19 tariffs, institutional tariffs and corporate tariffs drove the new acquisition, and also the rehabilitating the unlimited all tariffs and increase the all output. Institutional device campaigns, joint TTNet offerings and soft launch of the NSC were other highlights in the first half of 2010. Page 14. In the first half of 2010, revenues grew by 11% compared to the same period of the last year. In the second quarter, revenues were broadly in line with the first quarter despite the interconnection cut. The EBITDA margin almost doubled in the second quarter. The commercial action together with the strong OPEX management contributed positively to reaching double-digit margin. Page 15. The ARPU is flat despite the MTR cut and price cap requirement in the market. prepaid ARPU grew 16% year-on-year. We managed to keep prepaid ARPU at similar level with the Q1 through successful RPM management during the counter to TL conversion with the post-conversion tariffs. The postpaid ARPU is slightly lower quarter-on-quarter, mainly attributable to the decrease in incoming ARPU driven by the NTR cut. Page 16. Moving, the our overall subscriber base was lower by 2% compared to the first quarter of 2010 and 7% year-on-year. This is mainly due to the contraction in the prepaid market and migration from the prepaid to postpaid. However, we managed to gain 120,000 postpaid subscribers through the attractive mass and institutional segment offerings in the Q2. However, it is still highest traffic per subscriber operator. We continue to offer attractive flat tariffs for our customers. As a result, MOU is up by 6% year-on-year and 4% quarter-on-quarter. Now, David, let's go over the presentation.
Okay, if you look at the financials, if you look on page 18 of the TAC, you'll see the consolidated P&L statement. As we make the comment there, the key thing is the 40% increase in the net income of the business from 820 million up to 1.1 billion lira. That's a 326 million growth. Yes, the revenue grew 2%, EBITDA went up, but the key thing there was the financial income expense, which was 264 million lower expense to the business. It was driven by both FX and lower hedging mainly, and we'll talk about it later in the OPEX, improved bad debt positioning, which gets also some interest coming back, which goes through this line. If you look on the next slide, slide 19 on the balance sheet, what you can see here is always, is a very good capital structure we've always had with a low leverage. Our net debt is around 3.8 billion, similar to what it was at the end of June in 2009. And as you know, we'll talk about later, the dividend is a big impact on that in the first half of the year, and that we fund it by a euro debt, which we mostly pay by year end. And if you look at the net debt to equity ratio, it's been throughout the whole period, end of the year and end of first half, 09, 010, between 0.7 and just over 0.8, which is a very low leverage for the sort of business in any telecom in Europe. Look at slide 20 in terms of the cash flow. As we say, strong cash, it's always been a strong cash business, over 3 billion operating cash most years. You can see in the first half of this year, it's 22% better than the first half of last year, and we don't have to pay for 3G capex this year. Puts us in a lot better cash position. Unleveraged cash flows just under a billion, more or less the same as it was for the whole of last year. If we now turn to slide 21, the consolidated revenue. As Paul said earlier, overall revenue is up 2% year on year, mainly driven by mobile, GSM, and ADSL, 11% on mobile, 19% on ADSL, with a small drop in PSTN, 4%. I mean, that's where it's been for the whole of 09 and beginning of 2010, but we're seeing a decline in that. If you look at Q2, it was about 9% decline year on year, and we're seeing that narrow as we go forward. We turn now to the OPEX summary. Overall, OPEX is the same as the start of last year. Slight increase in revenue, but OPEX stable. We'll talk about some of the items later when we talk about the fixed and the mobile. I think the key thing we'll mention is the commercial, which went up 100 million lira. I'll talk about that when we talk about the fixed line. But that's the main one that's up. Interconnect doesn't come down that great. So again, I'll talk about the mobile, why that shows through that way. So if we turn now to the fixed line business in slide 23, overall revenues stable, down by about 0.9%. EBITDA goes up on slightly lower revenues, which is why EBITDA margin increases. And in fact, Q2 is even above those levels. And I'm sure there's going to be a question about EBITDA Q2. Is this one-offs? The position is the net position of any one-offs. I mean, there's always one-offs in any business every quarter, but the net is almost zero. So it didn't really impact the underlying position of the performance of the fixed line business. CapEx is quite low at this stage, and we'll pick it up in the second half of the year, as we said we would. If we enter into the revenue breakdown on slide 24 for fixed line, again you can see that's the 0.9% decline. Where is it coming from? We've always said PSTN has a big decline year on year, about 200 million. But probably more importantly, if you look at the Q1, the Q2 of this year, and compare it to Q4 of last year, what you'll see is stable revenue. And that's what Paul said in Barcelona. He said we would have stable fixed voice revenues going forward. And that's what we've had since Q4. The Q1 and Q2 again have been more or less aligned with Q4 09. But on ADSL, we've seen the growth. So most of the PSTN decline here year on year is driven by ADSL growth. ADSL continues to grow quarter on quarter. But then you've also got the lines of what we call here OVAS, the data services, which are corporate data products, and then interconnect. So internet revenues, although there's an FDR fixed termination rate decline in April, still we see a big growth. That's mainly driven by the dynamic of the mobile market, where there's been a lot more of off-net calling, and a lot of that traffic has gone to fix, so there's been a lot of GSM to fix. And that shows through on the internet growth of about 30%. If we look at the next slide, slide 25, which is the OPEX of fixed line, here you see, again, a position of OPEX under control. We've seen this for the last few years of OPEX being stable or slightly declined, previously slightly declined. We see personnel drops, cost drop in nominal terms year on year, mainly driven by the cutting the headcount of last year. We see the interconnect costs coming down, driven by the reduction in MTR rates. We're getting a big benefit here. And we see maintenance slightly down on last year. And as last year, the first half is tends to be lower than the second half, so it's, we do see in the second half a reduction in EBITDA because of that, as a rule. But what you'll also notice, and I'm sure the questions about it, are the commercial expenses. Commercial expenses are up about 100 million, and this is mainly driven by the need to advertise and promote the AdVantage offers that have been promoted in the first half, and you've seen on the PSTN revenues, how it started to stabilise in the Q4 level. That's not by pure luck, that's by hard work, by advertising, convincing customers about the value, and it also, it's commissions. Commissions for gross ads that are going on, for the upsell, ADSL upsell, PSTN moving people to AdVantage packages, and the SAC and SLT retention costs that come with that. But overall, the blend is slightly declining OPEX year on year, with actually costs going down more than revenue going down, which is exactly where you want the business to manage. The OPEX is lower than the revenue in terms of that change year on year. If we look at slide 26, move on to the mobile business. Mobile, what we see here is, yes, 11% year on year growth in revenue, but we've seen good revenue growth before in mobile. I think what we're now seeing is the start of the turnaround in the mobile business for the TT Group, if not for the market. And what we see there is, yes, 8% for first half, but that's, as some of you already noticed in your analyst reports, have gone up from 6% in Q1 to 11% in Q2, so almost doubling the EBITDA. And this is the start of a repair. Obviously, to make a big repair, it still needs a change in the overall market dynamic with the Vodafone coming away from markets, revenue share growth. Until that happens, it's going to constrain our ability to grow EBITDA margin too far, or at least back to the 23-25% levels we've seen in 07 and 08. If you look at the OPEX with mobile, here we see year-on-year slight increase, but the increase is in fact 81 million compared to revenue growth of 183 million, which is why you see the big EBITDA growth year-on-year. The interconnect costs don't decline much, and that's mainly because the interconnect costs that are there really picked up in Q2 going into Q2 and Q4. So at the start of last year, that's the full impact of that. In fact, if you look at the second half of 09, interconnect costs are 422 million. So this half is about 140 million down on the second half of last year. But you don't see it compared to the first half of last year. But the control there, and that control will continue. You see it in the bad debt. Bad debt on the second quarter is down on the first quarter. Obviously, half year of our trip up, mainly driven by the postpaid area, of course, because prepaid there's no bad debt. And we saw that in the fixed line, where the bad debt was significantly down the fixed line through good actions that have been going on for the last 6 months. That's more or less where we are on the P&L. If we turn to slide 28, the debt profile, what you see here is something we've been saying we're going to do for quite a while, which is build up the euro debt. We saw it in Q1, and it's there. We'll build it up even further with the EIB facility, which is a euro facility, which will come into this. And we'll start to balance our foreign currency debt between the euro and the dollar. And what we've seen this year is we've gained on the euro and we've lost on the dollar. But overall, in fact, we've made an excess gain this year. Whereas last year, where we punted purely on the dollar, we lost. If we punted purely on the dollar this year, we would be in FX loss position. Not to say the euro is better than the dollar, it's just at the moment, euro is falling better for us than dollar. But that can reverse any time in the future. But the lira debt, that's mainly for the dividend. So the 1.2 billion there end of June, then the 1.6 billion dividend we made in May. And this will gradually come down over time, whereas the long-term debt will stay there, we'll roll it over with new debt as and when required. No real problem on the funding. I will now hand back to Abdel again.
Alex, this now ends the management presentation. We can now start taking questions. Alex?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. To cancel your question, please press the hash or pound key. Once again, that's star 1 to register a question and the hash or pound key to cancel. There will be a short silence while participants register for questions. Our first question comes from the line of Cesar Tiron. Please go ahead with your question and announce your company.
Hi, it's Morgan Stanley. So I have three questions, if I may. The first question relates to growth in the mobile segment. If you look at growth in Q2, it's clearly slowing down on a year-on-year basis. Can you please tell us what have been the key drivers of this slowdown and elaborate on whether you think this is a market trend or if that means you are losing revenue market share in this quarter? The second question relates to DSL growth, and I observed that in Q2 there is a similar kind of growth going down on a year-on-year basis, although growth is still impressive. And the third question relates to the commercial costs at Avea in Q2. It seems that there is some inflation there as well. And can you please say if that's likely to continue in the near term, given that advertising prices are rising 15-20% in Turkey currently? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. In relation to the mobile answer, you pick it up first and then you can handle it.
Okay. I presume on the mobile, you talk about the revenue being flat Q2, Q1 as a slowdown?
Are
you talking about subscriber numbers declining?
No. My question relates to a comparison between Q2 2010 and Q2 2009.
In terms of revenue, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. And what you see there is that Q2 09, if you recall, we had a big pickup through the unlimited offer, which saw the big revenue growth last year, and then that's been slowly eased out as we move towards more profitable business and adjusting that. And we did a lot of that adjustment on that offer in August last year. And what you see this year is, in fact, stable revenue Q1, Q2. I think the key thing is it's profitable revenue growth we want. So what we're seeing here is that the profit is starting to come back. And I think that's the key thing that we want, and that's as a key shareholder in there, that's what we're driving the management of there to perform. So we're not that bothered about the revenue growth per se, it's more the profit growth. Clearly, revenue growth is good revenue growth, will generate good profit growth as well. So what we've done is taken out some of the revenue. Obviously, the incoming revenue is hit by the MTR cut, so that brings down revenue anyway, year on year. So obviously, we had a 52% cut in the MTR, which brought down the revenue Q2 of 2010 compared to Q2 of 2009. So I think overall, mobile's not, I mean, 11% half year and half year, it's still growing. Maybe it's not at the 20-plus level we've seen over the last few years, but it's at least kick-starting to regional double-digit growth, which is what we need. But it's profitable growth now. I think that's the key thing. Paul, you want to address the ADSL or
the ADSL or
Good evening. This is Eren Demircan, VP of Marketing and Communication. Regarding DSL, actually you would recall that in Q4 last year, we started our campaign. We started our campaign with DSL, and we continued in Q1 and Q2 of this year, and we achieved, as you mentioned, good growth. In Q2, we see a slight slowdown, but now we have initiated actually our access to every home tariff and campaign. Telkomnet also started a campaign on top of our tariff, where we are actually targeting the segment who have never used internet at their homes, rather than they use either at offices or they are using at internet cafes. So this is the target, and we will be heavily making communication around this, and we are supporting this with initiatives around netbooks and notebooks, computers, because those people will be needing the device to start their internet first. And actually, we made pilots around that in the first half of the year, and we have achieved good results. Like, for example, in June, with the campaigns done through our dealers and our offices, we were able to sell about 20,000 netbooks and notebooks. And we will continue that kind of campaigns in Q3 and Q4 of this year. So we believe that this access to every home will continue the momentum in the growth of DSL.
And in terms of current expenses on mobile, you're right, there was a small pickup in Q2. If you look first half this year, first half last year, there's not much of a change. But in Q2, there was a bit of a pickup in the mobile side. That's mainly driven by extra advertising to promote all the new offers that we were putting out in the market, which generated some of the revenue growth, the underlying revenue growth that we saw in the mobile business in Q2.
Okay, thank you. Can I just ask one last question? Do you think that the market grew at a faster pace than Advera year on year in Q2, or you don't have a view on that?
We will have to wait to see what comes out when Telkom and Vodafone deliver their results. Clearly, Advera, Vodafone were more impacted by the MTR cut than Telkom, so Telkom may show a little bit better, we'll have to see. But these are their results on the revenue side, at least on top line, show good performance. So we'll see. I mean, Vodafone are probably doing quite well in market if they're going to the market revenue show, which they confirm. So we're assuming they're doing well at the moment.
Thank you very much for your answers.
Sorry, I meant well on the top line.
Our next question comes from Jean-Charles Lemarbre. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, hello. Just on the shift in revenues, obviously it's quite a positive reversal. When you talk about sustainability, around those levels we saw in the second quarter. Just to understand, is there any seasonal uplift from the first to second quarter? Was this just reaction to your promotions? And what should we look out for in the second half of the year? And then on the ADSL again, I mean, you mentioned those initiatives to reach out to tiny new internet users, but what would be a reasonable run rate, you think for net additions going forward in ADSL? And maybe in the mobile business, just conclude, what do you see in terms of traffic shift? Has there been a stabilization in terms of cross-net traffic taking more share of the traffic, or is that continuing?
Okay, regarding PSTN, this is Eren Demircan again. Regarding PSTN, we were talking about PSTN in the conference of last quarter as well. Then BTK, the regulator, changed the rules about PSTN last November. We started our campaign, so we made a tariff rebalancing, which was spread over a time, actually, over a period of time. We started with campaigns, piloting what will be the best way to offer minutes without creating revenue loss or limited revenue loss for us. So for this reason, you would recall that we made campaigns in Bayram period, in New Year, during semester time of the schools. And then we designed the tariff rebalancing that we launched beginning of March. And after this, there was this home advantage, avantage tariff packages. And today, as Paul Duany mentioned during the presentation, now we've got more than 4 million home advantage tariff packages. And as a result of this, we have seen that MOU increased. We have seen that revenue per minute decreased. And also the flat fee percentage in the revenue increased that period of time. And in home advantage tariff packages, besides on-net 3 minutes, we are offering also cheap calls to GSM direction as well. And we have seen that that also stimulated usage. Now, we didn't stop with this, but we start offering other services to create the perception of value of PSTN line at home, which is parallel to our message in the communication as well, which says nothing like home. So we start offering insurance and we for PSTN line, and we also start offering security services together with one of the security companies in Turkey, and that is around creating value around PSTN line. And in the market researches we make, we are seeing that actually this negative perception about threats of in fixed fee is now diminishing, and we are seeing more of value for money for PSTN. Of course, people are we are trying to create relevance of the PSTN, and in the second quarter we have seen that. Regarding ADSL, as I said, we have started with access to every home. This is one of the initiatives we started together with computer sales. And there is also, we are upselling through the DSL offers last 1 year. Now we have more than 50% of our customers on 8 megabit packages, up to 8 megabit packages. And also, that is stimulating usage. Now the usage per line is around 12 gigabytes, considering that beginning of 2009 it was around 6 gigabytes, so it's about 100% increase in 1 year, and that shows that people are using more internet, and it's important, and there's still potential to go, because actually the usage in Europe is about 2 times of this, so we believe that people will be using internet more in the coming time. And also, Telenet is now offering 3G and Wi-Fi minutes together with their ADSL packages. And those Wi-Fi hotspots now are close to 8,000 in Turkey. And that will be supporting also the Telenet offering in the market.
Okay, so your last one was that traffic shift. Is that in mobile you're talking
about?
Yeah,
just in mobile, yeah, just accounts.
I think it's a very good question, and you're right to point to this. There has been a shift towards off-net traffic, and as I pointed out earlier, we saw on the revenue of the fixed line, we saw a big pickup despite the FCR reduction of 17% in April. And this is mainly driven by the all-direction tariffs that are happening across all mobile operators. We do see this continuing in the future. This is a phenomenon that's there now and will continue because customers like it. Customers like all directional offers where they don't have to worry about the number they're calling and getting charged a big premium for calling another mobile operator or a fixed line. So it will grow like it has been in Europe. In Europe's over 40%. We expect this market will tend towards that number over time.
Very good. And just to go back to the PSTN, so I mean, do you be looking forward to the stability of our moving forward and just PSTN, or is there potential for further gains? Even more people move packages. What's the view?
I think what we said, we've been telling people the last couple of months, is that on PSTN fixed voice, we see a position where we've now sort of stabilised it, where we could foresee going forward small single-digit declines in terms of revenues year-on-year for a while. And that's probably where we are. Obviously, Q4 of last year, Q1, Q2 this year, it's been stable. And that's more or less where we see the position with the strong marketing we did in the first half this year. We think we've got that one, I wouldn't say under control, but in the right direction. and we're seeing customers moving to EverVantage package, which is the bundle offer. And that's extremely important, as Paul said in his presentation. And we're now at a position where over 50% of our fixed price revenue is a fixed fee.
Yeah.
And that's very important because that's a fixed fee with a lot of value. And that's what customers have been really asking for, and that's what we're now delivering to the customers.
Great. And was there any seasonal benefit, a seasonal uplift from first quarter to second quarter? Is there no such thing, really?
No, I think it's more days of the month, more than anything else. I mean, you've got February, which is a 4-28-day month, which doesn't help anybody. But other than that, nothing really much. GSM, fixed the GSM tends to pick up in the summer months, but it's not that dramatic an impact as a rule. And especially if you're going more towards fixed fees, you check out the seasonality. Because there's no seasonality in the fixed fee.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Antik Ozkan. Please go ahead with your question and announce your company.
Yeah, thank you. This is Atinch, actually, from Credit Suisse. I have three questions, if I may. On wireline side, the 53% quarterly margin in the second quarter is pretty impressive. Can you give us an idea how sustainable this is, as we have seen some quarterly fluctuations in the margins of the segment, especially during last year due to some headcount restructuring? Is the 53% or 52% on average the norm now? And on mobile side, two questions, please. Looking to your mobile interconnect expenses, I calculate the quarterly cost saving due to lower interconnect at 75 million lira, which is almost the same as your quarterly EBITDA improvements on the top of first quarter. In the presentation, you also mentioned tough challenging conditions in mobile market. Does that mean that during the rest of the year, further margin expansion on mobile side is rather kept and depends on competitive dynamics in the markets? And finally, could you please provide the percentage of your total subscriber base on the mobile side, which is still on all directions tariffs? Thank you.
Okay, so this is the standard three questions. I think everybody's now coming on with three. It starts with a new thing for our call, and then if you're like John Charles, it's 25. I think on wireline, it's a very good question. In terms of the 53%, is that the new? I think we've always guided towards high 40s. So if it creeps over, we're happy. If it doesn't, our guidance is high 40s. So we've done very well. We've always said the dynamic on a fixed line business is your number of ADSL and PSTN subscriber lines, because they're over the same infrastructure. And if you can keep them constant or grow them, that's the secret to your success in the fixed line business. And fortunately, in Q1 and Q2, we've been able to do that. So it's going to depend on how we do in the next quarters on that driver, really, as to how that EBITDA margin will evolve. And clearly, if you look, normally we have quite a lot of IFRS 12 revenue, which is this simple accounting revenue from our CapEx of ADSL4, as a rule. Now, that was very low for the first half, and that makes about a 1% difference to EBITDA. But we've always said first half maintenance tends to be a bit low, so that's going to go a little bit higher as a cost in the second half, which brings EBITDA margin down a little bit. So that's more or less where we are. It's not dramatically different from first half last year. First half last year was 51%, or 52%. This half is not a real big shift in the business. It's just a small improvement, mainly because of the PSTN. In terms of mobile, EBITDA margin guidance, we don't give guidance on mobile EBITDA margin, as you know. In terms of your question, though, your question is the right question. Definitely, it is going to be around the competitive environment as to how well our EBITDA margin will grow. And it always is the case. Clearly, what we've had for almost 2 years now is a very price competitive market, with all operators having big margin hits, in absolute terms, big EBITDA cuts. Now, what we're seeing in there is a pickup in that margin. We'll find out next month what happens on the other two operators where they're seeing the same. But clearly, in the market, we're not seeing a big change. But it could happen at any time, and when it does, it will help all three operators, and there will benefit the same as the other two. So yes, it does depend on the other two operators to a very high degree. Clearly we'll do what we can ourselves without living what's in our own control, but a key driver to get into the 20s will be the competitors easing the market. Your third question... I think all we'll say there is it's increasing. I think generally I've said our feeling is in the market, probably in the market around about 20% of all subscribers are probably all directional now, whether they're pre or postpaid. And that's where we think it is in the first half. The probability is that will grow over time. And we'll have to see how quickly it grows. But that will also then generate a lot more definite traffic, which was in our answer to Jean-Charles' question just before.
Thank you, David. Crystal clear.
Okay.
Our next question comes from the line of Jaime Israel. Please go ahead with your question and ask your company.
Hi, I'm Bank of America Merrill Lynch. I have two questions. First of all, one on the mobile side, you're just trying to quantify the effect of the mobile termination rate this quarter. You mentioned in your presentation that some or a bigger part of the effect we're probably going to see going to Q3, Q4. I'm just trying to understand the double-digit EBITDA margins that we've seen, if you can break that down between actual improvement and MTR cut. Again, trying to understand if we have some is being left over for the coming quarters, which is going to see a bigger effect of the MTR. The second question is just touching base on the broad picture of the mobile market. We've seen more noises from Vodafone that they are targeting right now the postpaid market, trying to go more and make more investment in 3G, trying to go into the corporate segment. Do you see that, meaning that they're not just fighting on the whole market, on the prepaid market, and just going also for the high end of the market as well?
Okay, if you look at mobile on the MTR, I think we see the big impact already in Q2. I don't see on the mobile side you'll see any particular further impact MTR per se. Obviously, the impact we will probably see is it will encourage more off-net traffic because obviously it's cheaper for operators to promote all directional traffic, and therefore we along with Vodafone and Telstra, will probably see more incoming revenue. But that will also be a benefit on the fixed line side as well for our interconnect costs. Interconnect revenue. So we'll see how that goes. But I think you already see in Q2 most of the benefits or some operators' expense of the MTR hitting Q2. And it shouldn't have any more material impact in itself. It'd be more increase of incoming traffic more than anything else. In terms of mobile market, you're right about Vodafone. They have said they're targeting the postpaid, the corporate, the 3G. I think Churchill said middle of last year they were targeting postpaid. So we've been growing our postpaid as well. I think all three mobile operators are targeting postpaid, so they are good, solid customers, and you know the unique users. The problem with prepaid is you don't know it's a real user or not, or whether it's six of your prepaid or actually just one customer. So postpaid tends to be a better customer base to go for, other than the bad debt risk. Corporate, we've definitely seen them aiming at that market. Again, I think it's a tough area in the market at the moment. Fortunately, that's not one of our strength areas. 3G is a new area. Vodafone clearly has been advertising a lot for it. They've got the strength of the world behind them in terms of the Vodafone group, which are very strong globally. But so far, very strong in 3G, and I think what we've seen from the data that's been in the public domain is that 3G is mainly a Telco area at the moment. It's not Vodafone are probably succeeding as well as Avaya. And that's Avaya without any advertising, not really promoting it, and not spending anywhere near as much on the CapEx. So in that sense, I think we're doing quite well on the Avaya side in terms of we're not making expenditure that Vodafone are, but we're actually getting more of most of the benefit. And that will increase over time as we can use the convergence with TTNet to our advantage. So I think that's where we stand. It is still a tough market, and you're right, the Vodafone is still talking about growing market share. It's difficult. But that's what we're in business for, is to take the difficult and still succeed. And that's what we're starting to see with this mobile performance in Q2.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Yavuz Uzay. Please go ahead with your question and announce your company.
Hi, thank you very much for the presentation. My name is Yavuz Uzay from Goldman Sachs. Some of my questions have been answered, but I just wanted to hear your opinions about the rest of the year in the mobile business, whether you think that the improvements are improvements you experience vis-a-vis the rest of the sector, or you think that the mobile business is becoming more healthy, and maybe also some competence. Can you potentially comment on where do you think mobile business profitability can settle if all of the things you envisage actually materialize? Thank you very much.
Okay, in our wildest dream, I think our dream is that the Turkey market should be able to go back to the 35% EBITDA margin we saw back in 2008, and that we see in most European markets. Being in the low 20s is not a good market dynamic for a Turkey mobile market. And certainly the dynamics of 73 million people and earnestly operated. So it should definitely be up in the 35% of the EBITDA market. How do we get there? Will we get there this year? We'll have to see. I don't think it's possible to get there by the end of this year now. I think we're too late in the year. Even if everybody's settled down and said we want to improve profitability, I don't think we'll get there by the end of this year. But the drivers are, as we've always said, it's about Vodafone really becoming away from revenue share and becoming profit-focused. I mean, Turkcell have been saying for the last 6-8 months that they're focused on profit. We've been saying for every year the mobile area was focused on profit. But Vodafone keeps saying they're not that worried about the profit, they're going for revenue. Of course, that's destructive in the market. So until that's eased, I don't think we'll see a big repair in the market, but eventually we will see it, and it will go back into good EBITDA margin levels. But expectation is the EBITDA margin will be probably a better spread amongst the operators.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from one of Alex Balakny. Please go ahead with your question and announce your company.
Hi, this is Sasha Blachin from Goldman Sachs. Basically a follow-up on the mobile business development. It looks like the main competitive strategy now is to promote all directional calls, which majorly reduces the average price per minute, and basically that's what we saw in your disclosure based ARPU more or less stable, while MOU is growing rapidly. But I have a feeling that it's impossible to achieve EBITDA recovery without price increases, not reductions. So basically, do you think it is possible to see a price increase in Turkey overall in the Turkish mobile market in a near future? Or you still see that the preconditions for this are still not there?
Okay, I think you're right in terms of a mobile recovery got to come by RPM growth somewhere along the line of ARPU growth. I mean, you can give minutes away as long as there's extra value coming through. I think we've seen in the past that the mobile industry has been able to do inflation or inflation plus price rises. We actually saw in Q4 of last year, October of last year, all three operators, on average, put their prices of prepaid up by 10%. So it is a market where you can put prices up. But it's about putting prices up and not then following up with more free minutes. So a lot of the issue in the market is the level of free minutes that are in there. If you can withdraw some of the free minutes, that's an effective price increase. But then if you can put some price increases in, but then don't give them away, don't dilute them by giving 3 minutes, that's how you get the growth back. This market is one that can actually have a quick recovery in that respect, unlike a lot of markets. But you do need the all operators to want to have that fix. And that's what we've got to see. We've just got to see if all three operators want it. 2 out of 3 so far say they do. Unfortunately, it needs 3 out of 3.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Anastasia Ibrahimova. Please go ahead with your question and ask your company.
Hi, this is Julia from CT. I just had two quick questions on mobile side. If you could just update us with the number share of net traffic. I think it was 30% the last quarter. If you could update on that for Q2 as well, that'd be great. And the second question is probably, it's tied with the first one as well. On ACPM for mobile in Q2 fell only 1.6% year on year. And with the 52% in TR card, you would expect, we expected slightly higher fall in average price per minute. What could you attribute that resilience in average price per minute in mobile to? Thank you.
Okay, let me answer your first one, and then I might have a clarifying second question. The alternate share, traffic share, hasn't really changed much in Q2 from the Q1 level of the situation for us. We'll see on the market, we'll see what comes through from the Vodafone and the Telecom numbers, but there may be a slight increase in the offnet traffic, we'll see. I think in the first question, second question, you were talking about the RPMs.
Yeah,
that was and what was the question around that?
The average price per minute fell only 1.5% if you look at year on year, to about 6.6 crores. That's average price. If you just take R4 divided by MOU. But if you say you had about 25-28% of revenue was interconnect, having even that half, you would expect higher fall in APPM. And one of the explanations for resilience in ARPU could be a shift of traffic into outgoing off-net. So the because it's just, especially on prepaid, it's just the price per minute is higher than your average price. Or maybe there are some other reasons, maybe you're seeing...
I think what you see there is you also get SMS revenue going through, you get incoming revenue coming through on it. So basically what we have, you're right, MTR cut reduces the rate on the incoming, but what we do is we gain revenue in other areas, and so that's basically being able to keep our revenue in stable condition. So we've done things in the market, and we've been able to change the pricing. All operators, when on 1st of April, moved from Tankers to Lira, adjusted their pricing. And so a lot of them, obviously you have to reduce your maximum cap, so you reduce your off-net rates, or some of your off-net rates that are at the 64 crush level, you brought them down, and you change some of your offers around. And that's what we do, and we know Telecom and Vodafone did similar. We'll have to see when they produce results, what actually resulted from that. We don't know whether that meant their EBITDA is okay, improving, whether their RPMs are decreasing or increasing, we'll have to see. But it's more of a market phenomenon than anything else. So I think it's more a case of just offsetting with some other areas, especially SMS.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Anna Bosson. Please go ahead with your question and ask your company.
Yes, hi, Anna Bosson from UniCredit. My first question concerns the fixed line margin and the discussion that there would be an increase in people leaving the company who are sort of quasi-government employees. I wondered, therefore, if maybe there will be an increase in redundancy costs in the second half of the year that might negatively affect the fixed line margins. And if you could also just reiterate what the guidance is on the personnel numbers at the end of the year. I missed you were saying you'd hit them, but I'm not sure what they were. And secondly, on the guidance on revenue, there was a sort of reference by Mr. Delaney saying basically that there was uncertainty in the mobile market. And I wondered if that was the reason why my revenue would only be less than 5% growth. Was that a hint that things are perhaps looking worse than they were a quarter ago, or was that just a general comment on the state of the market?
On the, hold on here. On the matter of the mobile market, actually what I was alluding to there is that, we've had, let's say, tough price competition now from more or less the launch of the MNP, slightly pre-launch of the MNP, and then obviously subsequent to that, in the course of 2009, obviously we had the push towards all direction tariffs, which resulted in a very large number of free minutes that customers would not actually worry about, you know, what number they are calling. And that, of course, level of jitter in terms of pricing and so on also led to a big reduction in the multi-SIM usage. What basically I said when I was referring to that in relation to the mobile market is that, you know, voice in terms of PSTN and ADSL, the market dynamics are actually very clear. I mean, they are more measurable in relation to the competition levels that we have in the market, in relation to the pricing, in relation to that we are ultimately subject to margin squeeze cuts and so on. So it is actually a lot more predictable. It's more about market making and bundling and so on. The mobile market situation, as actually David and others have spoken earlier on, will require all the three operators to actually be focused more on performance in relation to obviously their margins and their profit. Now, we obviously have demonstrated that we are moving in that direction, and that of course can cost us a little bit in relation to our, let's say, market share on customers or perhaps, you know, our revenue growth. You know, a few percent of revenue growth here and there is not going to change the market dynamic for us. So we move towards focusing on basically capturing profits after a difficult period. And that was, of course, premised on MTR cuts, because MTR cuts make these postpaid offers by us and Vodafone, for that matter, profitable. Now, the issue ultimately will rely on Vodafone's position. I mean, Vodafone has sustained an average of minus 5% EBITDA margin for 6 months. And it's difficult to judge, you know, what they're likely to do over the next 6 months. Note that when they do, obviously, report their first quarter, which is this quarter, they will also report a saving on leasing charges of a full 6 month period, since that's a discount coming from our side. And I think once you make that correction, and obviously we'll all be, you know, eagerly awaiting that result, I think the question will be, is Vodafone going to sustain these negative margins for another 6 months or 12 months, or, I mean, we've heard even comments the end of 2011. If that's the case, then I think discipline from Avaya and Turkcell would be, let's say, a good outcome for us. If either of us, you know, Turkcell or ourselves, actually begin to react as well, we are basically going to lengthen the period of this market remedy. So on a best case assumption, we assume that Vodafone by the end of the year will have to, they will be compelled to worry about their margins. They cannot just keep throwing money away like this, because they're not actually getting any results out of it. I mean, their 3G strategy is not giving them anything. Their iPhone strategy didn't give them anything. So in the end, they would have to be, you know, become rational. Whereas I think Turkcell and Avaya are obviously a lot more focused on profit. And one of the important questions we had earlier on is that whether the market could ultimately repair and recapture the earlier margin. I think that question really could be nicely addressed to Turkcell, because they are the market leader. And our hope is that they would be pushing, you know, back towards, you know, high 30s and perhaps even low 40s over a number of years to come, because that's what Vodafone and Avaya need. So it's just basically a question of timing. What I was alluding to was this year, you know, whether that would happen this year or whether we have to wait till next year before we see a real move in that direction.
Makes sense. Excellent. Thank you.
And on your first question, on the people going back to government, the situation there, people go back to government, there is no redundancy situation. What they're doing is they're maintaining their contracting of employment, but they're maintaining it with the state with a guaranteed job, rather than coming on to a commercial contract with Per Telecom without a guarantee of job. So it should not lead to redundancy costs in itself. Personnel numbers, we never give guidance in terms of where we're going, because we don't think that's the right thing to guide to until we've told staff what we're doing. So we tend never to give guidance on personal headcount numbers.
That's perfect. Thank you very much for both excellent answers.
Thank you.
We have no further questions. I'll hand the conference back to you.
Thank you, everyone, for joining the call today. Have a nice evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.